are listening to Ratchet and the Geek, the intersection of social media, pop culture, and technology, brought to you by Lovey from AwesomelyLovey.com. She's a humor writer, a social media strategist, and the co-founder of the Red Pump Project. And me, Scott Hanselman from Hanselman.com. I'm a software engineer, web guy, former computer science professor, and a guy with too many gadgets. And together, we will bring you everything that we know and think about TV, movies, games, gadgets, stories of fail, the dumbest tweets you've ever heard, product recommendations, and lots more. Here on Ratchet and the Geek. Hey, it's us, and we're back for a very special episode of Ratchet and the Geek. It's all scandal all the time. We've just finished watching the mid-season 2 finale. Blown away. Lovey, are you blown away?
I am beyond blown away. I'm almost finished. This, like, the season finale, well, no, the winter finale has almost finished me.
Winter finale.
Yeah. Oh, man, where do we start? Where do we start? Well, we'll start at the beginning, just because the entire show, from the moment it started, it was like on 10. So, VP Sally's press conference, when she's talking about how the...
VP Sally.
Yes, I call her VP Sally. I refuse to call her Madam President because I am not here for her. Her press conference, where she's talking about how the president is critical, and if he wakes up, no one knows how he's going to feel. All this hateration in his dancery. I don't appreciate it.
I don't appreciate her. I don't appreciate her fake accent. And I find that her fake accent makes her even more unlikable.
Yeah. I'm just not here for that redheaded woman. Because the other redheaded woman on the show, Abby, is also annoying to me. So I don't know if Shonda did this on purpose and is like, I need both redheaded women on the show to be just full of hate. But anyway, we'll get back to that later. So when Huck shows up at the Gladiator office and is like, I'm the person that they think shot the president. I tell you, I wasn't ready.
And you call it the Gladiator office.
I do call it the Gladiator office because they're the gladiators. So, you know.
We just got to make sure that people understand all of the shorthand we have here, because there's VP Sally.
Yeah.
And there's the Gladiator office. There's right. The League of Goons.
The League of Goons.
Or the League of Goons.
The League of Goons is what I call that whole conglomerate that includes Hollis Doyle, Justice Verna, Liv, Melly, the First Lady, and Cyrus. So all the people who rigged the election together, I call them combined the League of Goons, because they are all goons in their own right.
Right, and then there's President Ghost, who we talked about last
President
week.
President Ghost,
he was on Ghost.
Yes, he is Fitzgerald Grant, and I call him President Ghost because he was on the movie Ghost, and I don't forget stuff. Well, no, I forget stuff, but I just like to call people by roles that they play early. Like the Anchorman, I call him Seventh Heaven Daddy because I love Seventh Heaven, and he was on there for years, so that is his name to me. I don't even know his real name on the
awesome.
Show.
So last week, 2 weeks ago, the president was shot.
Yes.
Then Huck's on the run. We're all thinking Huck did it.
Yes.
We're thinking it's all about this guy in a red hoodie. Then suddenly Huck shows up at the Gladiator office with the gun, which means that he didn't do it, but he rather was there minutes later.
Yes. And here's the part. I mean, I love this quote of every gun has a story, but that marked me because I really thought there were two shooters. I was like, you know what? Fine. Maybe Huck did shoot the president, but the second person must have shot him in the head. I was all wrong. However, what's interesting is the people on my blog on the recap from last episode, a couple of people had actually got it right. So tell us what happened. So what really happened?
So it turned out that his girlfriend did it and had like lured him there to meet her. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
And his girlfriend's name is Becky, and Becky is the other addict that he met at the AA meeting. So Huck goes to these AA meetings because he has an addiction. His addiction is kind of like Dexter. He has like this dark passenger. He likes killing. He likes being a killer, and he's messed up, but he calls it whiskey. So when he goes to an AA meeting, he says, you know, I'm having trouble. I really want some whiskey. I need to get some whiskey and really get into it. She is a cocaine addict, and so he's found this other addict that apparently loves him as him and appreciates him and the things that he does. So he seems to be falling, and everyone is coaching him not to be suspicious of her because she seems like a perfectly normal girl.
And then when he comes into the office and he's like, well, what happened was she called me and I showed up at the place and I saw this gun that just went, like, had five rounds go off. So I decided to pick it up and get the bullets, the shells, and run out of there to protect her. And they're all like, well, who is Becky? And he's like, Becky is just normal. She's from, I guess, Connecticut. And she didn't do this. She was kidnapped. And they're trying to tell him, we're not sure. But Olivia's like, okay, you know what? Stay in my office. Do not move. I will find a way to fix this. Ah, oh, man.
You can't tell Huck anything, though. And then he says to, one of the guys says, you need to stop. And Huck, again, I think they're pushing it a little too much. He's like, I'm a trained killer. You shouldn't try to. I get it. You know, you've been telling me you're a trained killer for like 9 episodes. We get it. You're a badass.
Nah, I disagree.
Then he grabs his arm and pushes him down.
I actually must disagree, because in that moment, it was important for him to actually let Harrison know, you cannot stop me from leaving this office if I feel like leaving this office. And he has to remind people on a regular basis, you remember, I'm a trained killer. I might be your friend, but I will kill you with one look. So I don't really think it's them necessarily doing it too much. I think it's important plot point. Like, and he showed that he's a trained killer when in that second he disarmed Harrison in the biggest way. Like, he slammed his face on the conference table. Like, well, next time you should know better. You shouldn't really go against a trained killer. I might just let him pass right by me and be like, you know what? I will even open up the door for you.
Yeah, I just would have preferred it if his actions would have spoke more than his words. Like, I don't think you need to announce that you're a badass. Just be one. And then if he'd knocked Harrison over and then walked out, I would have been more impressed.
Nah.
But that's a nitpick.
That's also his friend, though. So it's one of those things that's like, listen, I love you. You're my homie. But remember, I am a trained killer. I will mess you up. But this is my girlfriend. So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
But yeah. So let's talk about Cyrus and what's happening with him in this episode.
Cyrus is... I used to think he was evil. I thought he was evil. I've called him evil before on previous episodes. But now I just think he's got convictions that are just the wrong convictions. Like, his perspective is, we got the president in the office, and that's a good thing because he's a good president, even though we broke a million laws to make it happen. And now we have to keep it that way. We have to keep him alive. We have to keep him in the office, and we need to protect our necks. And he will do anything to make sure that happens.
And I'm liking Cyrus more now, because I've realized, I think he's evil when it comes to protecting the people he loves. So he will go to any lengths to protect the folks he loves, which is different for somebody like Hollis, who I think is just evil for evil's sake. Like, his only motives seem to be power and money.
Agreed. So, agreed. Hollis is just evil, and Cyrus is the ends justify the means evil.
Yes. And I prefer the Cyrus to the Hollis, because the Hollis has nothing necessarily protecting him and keeping him in any type of lane and boundaries. He has no boundaries, none.
Right. But then James comes back, and Cyrus had called and checked up on his mother to see how James was doing, because James, Cyrus's husband, had gone to visit his dad and said, yeah, I'm going to go visit my dad and check up on him. But he was actually in Defiance, Ohio, checking out all of the voting machines, looking for the memory card on one of those voting machines. And Cyrus figures out James was not at his dad's house.
But see, Cyrus thought James was cheating. Now, here's where I actually was surprised. Before, I thought Cyrus had his hands in everything and knew everything, because I just knew Cyrus was like, oh, okay, he probably had James' phone tagged and probably knew about the trip to Defiance, Ohio. So that part actually surprised me more than maybe a bunch of other things that happened in this episode. I was like, Cyrus really didn't know James was up to no good. That shocked me.
But when he does find out about this kind of stuff, Cyrus takes action. He went immediately to Huck number 2,
yes,
which is the other trained killer we have on speed dial,
yes,
and said, find out if he's cheating on me. And then Huck number 2 found out immediately. What is that guy's name? I've seen him on Friends or something.
I love the fact that you call him Huck number 2. His name is Charlie on the show, but I love Huck number 2 better.
Okay, so he goes to Huck number 2 and finds out that he's in fact not cheating on him. He says, but he went to this little town in Ohio, and then in my mind, there was a Law and Order. Dun, dun. And then he says, what little town in Ohio? And he goes, oh, I don't know, Defiance or some stupid little town. And then he's like, oh, no, I'll pay you anything. Just figure it out.
He's like, just keep following
him.
Just
Cyrus is on to him now.
Yeah, but you know what parts actually, like, okay, so seeing Justice Verna in the hospital with no hair because she's fighting cancer touched my heart. Mm-hmm. Like, this little evil old lady, seeing her with no hair, and I was just like, oh, Verna. But we find out Verna is not little and harmless, really. She is also,
no,
being a part of the League of Goons, you really earn your League of Goon title.
Yes, she is definitely not to be messed with. And when VP Sally comes to her and says, you know, you're sick, you've got cancer, you need to step down, they kind of go back and forth like they're playing dominoes, and they just keep slapping the table back and forth and seeing like who's got the big numbers.
But see, Hollis is just, he's the worst. He's the most manipulative son of a somebody on this show. Because the envelope that Sally brings in to blackmail Verna with is the one Hollis gave her when he shows up. So I'm like, oh, snap. The League of Goons is officially disbanded because Hollis just ratted out Verna. Oh, it's getting real.
Right. Well, but I think, though, but Hollis is ratting out. Hollis is the one who has the least to lose of anybody.
And that's the scary part. I don't think Hollis has much to lose besides his money and power. Like, he doesn't have the difference between all the people in the League of Goons, it feels like, is that each one of them at least have someone they love who they're doing something ridiculous for that person's best interest or what they think is the best interest. So we got Melly, even though President Ghost is sleeping with Olivia, she's still trying to protect him on some level. Cyrus be protecting James and President Ghost. Olivia, President Ghost is what everybody has in common. But Hollis, we don't really know what he has to protect besides his own money.
I think that Hollis, I think of him who's the knight who protects King Arthur? Like Lancelot? Like, he's like the knight. He perceives himself, he's chief of staff, right? So
Cyrus?
He is the hand of the president.
Yeah.
Almost like Game of Thrones, right? I am the king's hand. So he is the king when the king is not there, and it is his job to protect, in his mind, America itself. So Cyrus is doing things as if he were the president's true proxy and believes that he has justice and God and America on his side.
And Cyrus thinks the president is his BFF, which I think is adorable. But so going back to this, like, shooting of the president, the fact that, so with Huck in denial, and he goes to Becky's house and does this exhaustive search and finally founds this back room, walks in, sees all his pictures. So now he can no longer be in denial that Becky was not the shooter. So the scene where he sits outside his favorite family's house waiting for Becky, oh my goodness. What did you think?
Now, his favorite family is appears to be random suburban family that he stalks just to stay normal, just to feel normal. Like, I'm not normal, but I know how to stalk people because I'm a trained killer. So I will stalk a random family and I'll know them and I'll think about them and I will be a part of their routine, their normal routine.
Right. So him, because he brought her there to go watch with him on their first date. So when she shows up, the conversation they had was interesting. Those two are insane. Together, they are insane. She goes, you're not better than me because I shot the president. You've shot like 3 world leaders.
That was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, if you're a killer, it just reminded me of like the movie Ronin, where it's just like, you know, oh yeah, I remember that time in Berlin. Oh yeah, I remember that time we broke into the G8. Yeah, and didn't you stab the president of Venezuela with a fork? Oh yeah, those were the days. And it's just like, I guess if you are a bunch of trained killers, you'd be sitting around talking about stuff like that. Like, how do you judge me? You killed 3 world leaders.
And then she like tells him, you're just mad at me because you took your guard down and I was there to basically deal with it. And what's interesting is it makes me remember when he first started dating her and first met her, he wanted to do background checks on her like he typically does on everybody in his life. And Olivia is the person who told him, do not do all of that because she's a normal girl, have a normal relationship with this girl. And Olivia is the mm-hmm. reason that Huck did not do this background check. So you think
that was an honest mistake on Olivia's part? Because my initial reaction was that Olivia must be involved with Becky somehow because Olivia talked Huck down from doing a background check. And even a cursory background check by Harrison showed that she was an invented character from 3 months ago.
Right. But see, I don't think Olivia would set Huck up ever just because Olivia is loyal to the people she's loyal to. And the only time she does anything that jeopardizes them or really kind of hurts their emotions is when she had Harrison break up David and Abby. And that's because it was hurting the organization. But I really think what it is it says more about Olivia's lack of good judgment now than anything. Because first season, she was all about like, my gut tells me things. Well, lately, her gut has been wrong many times. And this is one of those times, and this is how costly it is. So, yeah.
You know, that's actually a really good point. That almost makes this whole episode the episode where people are wrong. Like, if there's one thing, you know, Verna thinks she's powerful and she's got something, and she gets her bluff called by President Sally, and Huck is wrong. And
Liv is wrong.
And Livia is wrong. Yep. I mean, everyone is screwing up.
Cyrus
Abby is wrong.
Cyrus is wrong
Dave
about
Rosen
James.
Is wrong.
Yeah. Cyrus is wrong.
Cyrus is mistaken.
Yep.
All these people who we think are all powerful are finding that they're making mistakes left and right.
And yeah, that's the thing. And so when Olivia goes back to Justice Verna, was it Olivia? Yeah. She goes to go talk to Justice Verna at the hospital. And first, I would like to pay homage to Justice Verna's wig game. I'll be remiss to not, you know, at least curtsy at that wig game. She could teach these youngins a thing or two about lace fronts, because you ain't even see no edges that were wrong. Her wig was proper. Anyway,
what do you think what's her real hair look like? Because I was going back and forth thinking, is the bald part real or the wig real, or they're both fake?
I feel like the bald part is fake. I feel like that's a wig cap. It's a wig cap because she wears
a skull cap.
I mean, a wig cap or a skull cap, same kind of difference. Yeah, I feel like that's the fake one.
I'm going to look online and see what this woman looks like in person.
But see, how you going to know?
I agree with you.
But how you going to
know?
She
looked sharp. I mean, I was really convinced. I was like, wow, that's a really good bald
the white hair,
thing. And then I was like, wow, but
The white hair is hers for sure, for real, like in real life. That's hers. The wig cap is not hers. Like, she's not going bald.
No, I'm looking at a picture of her right now. She's blonde.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of white.
She's got it.
It's white.
It's all wigs. Yeah.
No, but that's her hair, though, is what I'm saying.
No, it's not. I'm looking at her picture of the actress right now.
Okay, so she can't color her hair?
No, I'm saying there's not enough body to her hair. I'm saying that this actress doesn't have as fabulous hair as Judge Verna does. Judge Verna has a nice, big, full head of silver hair. She's got that silver hair. And this actress has limp blonde hair. We'll cut this part out of the show.
No, actually, this part is actually necessary because I just want to... Scott always pays attention to the hair of the people on this show.
I don't know what my problem is. It's like hair, eyebrows, cheekbones. It's a mess.
It's a mess. I'm like, when did you pay attention to the story? Well, you know what? I can't hate because I'm always paying attention to what people are wearing. So you know what? It's all right. It's okay. I ain't blaming you for
it. I know you're watching shoes. I know what's up.
You know what? They never show shoes. I'm really angry about that. They never show shoes. Otherwise, I'd be able to tell you who made Olivia's shoes, but I can tell you who made her jackets most of the time.
So was it Justice Verna who said that I've been seeing pictures of that guy wearing the red hoodie all day? He looks like Huck.
He looks like Huck. And she looks at Olivia, and Olivia's looking, that's when I knew some trouble was brewing. Because I'm like, oh, no. So when Justice Verna goes to Sally's house, well, the White House, and she's like, instead of me stepping down, you have two choices. You make a choice. Either I step down or I give you the name of the person in the red hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, time to go.
Which makes the point that the League of Goons is over.
It's
because
done.
What she's doing is she's like, I'm going to start selling people out left and right. Now,
to save
Huck's
my
not
own
part of the
seat.
League of Goons, but he's certainly a tool
exactly.
of the League.
Exactly.
So she's like, I'll sell him out. That's fine. I've got mine. So suddenly it's crabs in a bucket. we're selling each other out as we ever, everyone tries to climb back up.
Right. So when Cyrus now has figured out that James knows about the election, instead of Cyrus, of course, asking James about it, he decides that what he's going to do is finally agree to get a baby, to adopt a baby with James. And here's where the craziness really continues. I mean, just every time you think one person couldn't possibly backstab the other some more, but what he doesn't realize is James has figured out that he knows. So when he meets with David, I'm just like, Lord, these people are awesome, underhanded, trifling, shady people.
I was pretty sad, frankly, that we're talking, I mean, maybe it's just because I've got kids, but we're using a baby as leverage? This is a human being.
Well, I mean, since you're talking about babies, can we talk about that scene? The family scene. So,
oh, that was messed
here's
up.
Here's the thing. A lot of times, my hunches are wrong. Kind of like Olivia Pope. Shade, but I love her. Yeah, so when I was watching the show tonight, and Huck has decided that he will set Becky up for the okie doke. And I'm like, oh, crap. Huck is making this call to Harrison about, you know, this setup for Becky. And I'm just like, I hope Becky does not realize that Huck wants to set her up and have a surprise waiting. Well, when Huck goes to go visit his favorite family, by visit, I mean sit in the car and watch them creepily, the house is quiet.
And not very well. Not very well. I mean, I'm not one that does a lot of creeping, but I'm pretty sure that being 30 feet across the street with your face pressed up against the window in a car is not like typical surveillance technique.
Which is why I feel like he might have known this family before he became a CIA or after. It feels like there's a tighter connection to this family than just a random family that he picked out of the blue to watch. But we'll get back to that. So when the house is quiet, I was like, oh, shoot, because it's usually their Tuesday night dinners that they never miss. I was like, this is creepy. I don't like it. So when Huck goes in their house to check on because it looks creepy and sees the whole family murdered, listen, I pride myself in being a thug. My thug crumbled, okay? When they were showing the entire family dead and the dog and the baby behind the mom, listen, I had to tell myself not to cry and I had to remind myself this was not real. I was devastated.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely making a point here that this woman is completely insane if she's going to kill an entire family to make a point. Like, she killed the whole family without even as much thought as putting together a sentence. It was just, you know, she could have just left him a voicemail, but she killed an entire family.
Man, that scene had me. I was like, Shonda Rhimes, you're not even taking no prisoners.
You know, and I don't mean to minimize the death of the family, but I just think it's interesting that we're on, like, what, episode 16 of this, the last two seasons, and they have faked an election, or, like, you know, defrauded the American people, installed the wrong person as the head of the free world, killed seven people in an explosion, and that was the scene that made you kind of take a knee.
Yes, the baby and the dog. The baby and the dog.
It was the dog.
You ain't got to kill Lassie. Lassie ain't do nothing to you. Damn. Seriously, that scene had me in my feelings. Even after the show ended, I was still tweeting, you guys, why did they have to kill the baby and the dog? Seriously.
Yeah, see, for me, it was when James said, he knows. He offered me a baby. He knows. And I was like, you do not deserve a baby with that kind of attitude. I'm sorry.
They're going to get that baby, though.
I guess they will. They're pulling strings, apparently.
But, okay, so when Huck goes back to the office and finds, and he's just sitting there just catatonic, he's like devastated at this family being killed. And I don't think this family is as random as we think they are.
I'll bet you against. We'll come back in a couple of weeks and we'll find out in January. But I think that's just a totally random family. We'll never hear from them again.
Nah. See, we might never hear from the family, but I will bet my last $5. Well, I would bet just $5. I don't know who I'm going to PayPal this to when I lose this bet. Maybe Shonda.
You PayPal to me because you don't.
You know what? Whenever,
that family is meaningless.
Something tells me that family is more than meaningless. So, yes, if we find out otherwise, you guys have heard it here, I will send Scott $5.
Excellent.
Yes. So, the end when we find out that Verna did end up snitching. No snitching, Verna. No damn snitching. And the SWAT comes in to get Huck. And they're like, and Olivia screams, "What is the charge? What are the charges?" And they're like, "You're being charged under the Patriot Act," and drag them away. Welp. That was when I was like, okay, well, yeah, it's real. It's really real.
Because they're basically saying he's a terrorist. They're saying we're going to make you disappear. Like, that's the Patriot Act is like the easiest way for them to make Huck disappear. So no doubt next episode he's going to be in a hole somewhere and he'll be in Guantanamo.
Yeah, we already saw previews for the next episode. There's a scene where Huck is he's shirtless. He might be naked, I'm not sure, but he's at least shirtless and there's blood covering him and he's saying if the president is still alive, he's still in danger. Which is saying that, like, Becky and them and whoever's above her want to see him just not survive. So,
okay. So who is Becky and them? Who's in them?
Sally. I believe it's Sally, the VP, for sure.
You think it's VP Sally?
I think
because
it's
VP. She's a Christian and she believes, I don't know, whatever she believes, she seemed pretty hardcore about it.
Nope. I think it's VP Sally. And what's funny is I don't think, everyone has been thinking it's been Hollis. I finally don't think it's Hollis. Because of the fact that before we thought Hollis would probably go into, you know, like probably did it with VP Sally. It was in a conversation where Hollis met up with Sally that I realized they hadn't done any business together. Because when he showed it up, she looked at him like, okay, what do you want? Like, okay, what business do you have here? And it was more of a, this is a stranger who's probably bugging me. So, which is why I don't think Hollis was behind the assassination of the president anymore. I think it was Sally. And I don't think it was Verna, because Verna realized that her seat would be up for grabs if a new president is in there. So I don't think it's Verna. I know it's not Olivia. And I really don't think it's Hollis anymore.
Okay, so I think there's three possibilities, right? Mm-hmm. I think that it is either Sally, right? Mm-hmm. Doing like you said. But that implies that she's more evil than political. And she's always been political in the past. Remember, she's always been making deals. She was really disappointed when she didn't get to pick the Justice Furness spot. She was promised, when she became the VP, she was promised to be the one who could pick the next Supreme Court justice.
Wait,
so it could be her.
Oh, wait, all right? Oh, wait. I have a question.
Just, yes.
You said you think Sally is more political than evil. Well,
yes.
Having the president out of the way is a great political move for her because, like you, she is right now. She's now the first female commander in chief. It's a political move. It just happened by evil means.
But it's so messy. The thing that it gets everybody here is the trail, right? You just can't be attached, and there's not enough levels of indirection between Sally and Huck or Billy.
Nah, man.
Right? It's not far enough away.
Yes, there
it's
is.
Not enough plausible deniability.
Yes, there is. Because who would ever connect Sally with Becky, who is a trained undercover killer? There's no trail there until we see one. There really is no obvious trail that's like, oh, shoot, Sally connected to Becky. This is exactly how, until they reveal it. So what I'm thinking is, if she did decide she wants to become president, which she is now, and decides the only way she'll become president is if she kills the current president, the way to do it is to get a trained assassin whose only job is to disappear. She becomes a new person every 3 months. If Becky wants to disappear, she will disappear. So there is no direct contact there.
All right, well, so there's three killers here, right?
Okay.
There's Becky, there's Huck, and then there's this guy, Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie's Huck number two. Charlie killed Billy, the former chief of staff, right?
Yes.
Last on the season one finale.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that Sally was working? I mean, who? Huck worked with Charlie to kill the chief of staff, right? Huck basically enlisted Charlie to get rid of that chief of staff. But I don't know. Okay, so maybe Sally did it. Maybe Hollis did it. But what if Melly did it? Right? She seemed really, really concerned as he was getting out of the limo. Melly was like, I want to go. I want to go home. She was selling it a little too hard.
Right.
Right? Maybe she didn't think that Sally would get into the White House. Maybe she just, I don't know, wanted out or something.
You know, I would.
Or maybe she just wanted him injured. Maybe she just wanted to build more support around President Ghost, because if he got shot in the arm, then people would rally around the president.
Yes.
And she'd get him back.
I was team, I don't like Melly until last episode, the one from last week. And it was because watching her, like, sitting next to her husband's bed while he's unconscious, it's hard to look at Melly and be like, she's the reason he's in this bed, in terms of, like, she wanted him to get shot in the head. I think, if anything, Sally wanted him to get hurt, but never in a way that would make him, like, incapacitated.
Yeah. Well, and remember, there's also that whole idea that it was a really sloppy bunch of shots, right? That either implies that it was meant to be sloppy, or Becky's not as bad as she, you know, as badass as she thinks she is.
Well, remember how the
Huck would never be that sloppy. Everyone agreed that Huck would not be that sloppy.
But remember when we were watching the flashback to the shooting, this episode, and the gun.
That was the everyone in wigs episode.
Yes, yes. No. This episode, this particular one from today.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the flashback episode.
No. This one.
Okay.
And the gun shut itself off. So she positioned the gun, and I guess timed it, and it shut itself off. Which, wait, is that what happened? Like, I was confused about that.
No. She was in there. She made the shots, then she dropped it and ran. This is not the kind of thing you can set up and just have it happen. This is, you gotta, it's not a fire and forget. Work was there. Somebody put work into that. She absolutely did it herself, I think.
Because it felt like, because he said when he walked in, because the way they showed it, when he walked in, the gun was still moving. It wasn't just sitting there. I'll have to rewatch that part. But either way, she's the person who is behind it. But who's behind her?
Who hired her? She's just a tool.
Right. She's just a tool for the whole thing.
Okay.
I cannot believe we have to wait 4 weeks for this.
Well, yeah. So it's the 14th right now.
It's literally four weeks. 10th?
Is that when it says?
Yeah, it's 4 weeks.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Four whole weeks.
This is
going to be a problem.
You know what? We need to give a shout out to the Scandal Lounge.
Yes, our people on the Scandal Lounge. It's just our little Facebook group of Scandal. Other former fellow people who are addicted to Scandal. We basically hang out in this little group on Facebook and scandalize as a group. And they're a support group. It's our AA.
Right. It's our version of AA. Like, if we were Huck and we went to a group, we'd be like, "Hi, my name is Lovey, and I'm addicted to Scandal. I am 3 hours sober."
Well, you know, the best part is that you can get the complete first season on Amazon for $19.95.
Oh, you know I'm buying that tomorrow, right?
I'm buying it right now. I got one click on Amazon. It's already bought. It's on the way.
You know what? You know, and the worst part is, he's not lying. Like, he just
plays. No, I'm not lying. Yeah. The other thing it's important to know is that you can actually be watching these on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So Scandal Season 2, you can watch them at ABC.com. You can watch them on Hulu. Whoever is in charge of making Scandal available all over is doing a really good job.
I mean, who was out? I think it was somebody online. God's Fave Shoes tweeted, "Scandal and everyone involved should get every single award that exists, a Tony, an Emmy, a Grammy, a They were like, I said a best attendance award, most about that life award. They need to get every award and all of the awards.
It's a good show. I mean, are we really willing to like put Scandal up against The Wire and Homeland and Dexter and Breaking Bad?
You know what? I mean,
it's good.
You know what?
But it's because is it the greatest show in history? No.
No, of course they haven't had time to prove that yet. The Wire, we'll need to do a different thing.
I love
thing.
That. You're like you it's still possible for you. Like you're like, "Oh, well, yeah, it will be eventually the best show in history, but you know, it's a little too soon."
But you know what though? The Wire,
You didn't even stop. You didn't even pause.
I was like, "Oh, please."
You didn't say, "No, no." You just said, "Oh, well, you know,
give it some time.
It'll be the best show in history."
But you're also talking to The Wire stan. I am addicted to The Wire to the point where I own the box set and I actually want to start rewatching it all over again. That's a whole different story for a different day. The Wire is everything. Yes. Everything. If you've never watched The Wire,
well, that's actually, you know, hey, here's a little thing. We'll end on this because the Blockbuster Video down the street from my house just shut down, and you know they were selling movies, and every week you'd go by, and it was like movies are $3, and movies for $2, movies for 99 cents. Hey, I'll give you a dollar. Take these movies. I bought all 5 seasons of The Wire, all 5 seasons for $20.
You shut your face. Stop.
I'm looking at him. I'm seriously, I've got, it's like, I don't know, 40 DVDs. And I've got them all on my iPad. So I'm going to spend the next 4 weeks doing that. That's how I'm going to get through my Scandal.
You know what? That's a good idea. On Thursdays, we should actually start watching The Wire and live tweeting it. Whoever has a Wire disc set, because we need, okay, you know, we need some way to fill up our time and our Thursday nights. Whoever has a Wire disc set needs to bring out their disc sets.
Watch it at the same time. You have to watch it at the same time Scandal is on.
At the same time Scandal is on to help us get through this tough, tough 4 weeks. Who is down? If you are, comment under this episode and let us know if you will join the Wire watching crew before Scandal comes back on. We have a problem.
There you go. That is now the tweet. That is the hashtag Wire Watching Crew.
Wire Watching. That's long. The Wire Crew. Just make it Wire Crew.
Okay. Handled.
Handled.
We're on this. Bam. It's going to become a thing.
Handled. Okay. You guys have to let us know if you're going to join the Wire Crew. And if you've never watched The Wire, I need you to join Netflix or get your friend's password to log into Netflix and start watching Wire. It will give you everything. And for the ladies, Idris Elba's in it. Come on, somebody. I'm here for it. So yes, thank you guys for listening to our special episode of Ratchet and the Geek, all Scandal, everything. And we hope you liked it. As always, comment on the bottom. We love hearing your comments. And review us on iTunes. Any final words, Scott?
All right. No, that's all good. We love the comments. Please comment. I think we almost love comments more than page views, because we just want to know that you're listening and then you're having fun. Maybe we're keeping you company as you make dinner, or maybe you're on a long commute. Maybe you're in the U.S., but maybe you're overseas. Leave us a comment and tell us where you are when you're listening to Ratchet and the Geek and where you are when you watch Scandal. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Scott, where's your radio voice?
And this has been another episode of Ratchet and the Geek on your AM dial.
I live. Bye, y'all.
All right, bye.